crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's pray. Father, we're going to dig into your word a little bit this morning, into something that's, I know for me, was very hard to understand. So, Father, I pray for clarity as I try to explain this passage of Scripture. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would open our hearts and minds to really hear what your word says and to understand it and then to practically apply it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I was thinking about how to start the message this morning, and what came to mind was, you may find this hard to believe, but my wife and I went to McDonald's with somebody, not the other place. And it was right after a church service. He was the first person we ever chose as an elder in the church, he and his wife, my wife and I. And we got our food and we sat down, and we'd been working on a situation, and it was frustrating. And he got really frustrated, and he said, "People don't change." And I said, "Then we better burn the Bible and padlock the church, because there's no sense going on if people don't change." And he looked at me and said, "Apart from God, people don't change." You know, when I went to Bible school, I could quote Galatians 2:20. It was a great verse. I had no idea what it meant. And so I want to talk about that concept, but I sort of want to back up and look at where we've gone the last couple of weeks. We talked about learning to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And he convicts us. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And we talk quite a bit about Romans 8:1. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And for me, understanding that, and it didn't happen until I went to Bible school and I've been a Christian for at least 8 years, was a huge breakthrough. Because I was always feeling condemned and feeling it was the Holy Spirit. And when you think what the devil's telling you is what the Holy Spirit's telling you, you're not going to go anywhere. Understanding that is critical. And then in order to grow, we need to identify the sinful behaviors in our life. And Galatians 5 is a pretty good list. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And then we need to learn to walk in the Spirit. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The way to stop being all those things in Galatians 5:19 to 21 is to walk in the Spirit. And is this important? We talked about this last week. Fleshly Christians remain babies. They never grow up. And one of the great tragedies in Christianity is the people who've been sitting in church for years, sometimes decades, and they're babies. They haven't changed. They haven't grown. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ." It's fascinating that one of the early church leaders wrote a book to the Corinthian church maybe 50, 60 years after Paul wrote his letter. You know what? He deals with all the same issues. They still hadn't grown up. Now, is real change possible? Can God really transform people? Can he make us different than we always have been? So let's be realistic. Perfection is not possible, okay? I'm not going to come to a point and I'm not going to sin ever again. No, that's not going to happen. If we claim to be without sin, and usually when John uses sin in the singular, he's talking about our sin nature. If I claim that my sin nature has been eradicated and I don't have that problem anymore, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. We never deceive anybody else, okay? But we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, oh, I haven't sinned in years. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. But having said that, victory is possible. My parents were going to a very liberal church when I was born. We left that when I was a teenager. And we went from a church where holiness wasn't even a concept to be discussed, and neither was being born again, to a church that talked about salvation every Sunday morning and every Sunday night. And if you walked in Wednesday night and the pastor didn't know you, he preached an evangelistic message. A friend showed up one night who was wearing, had a beard, and we got a long evangelistic message. But they had reduced the Christian life to largely a list of rules. And it wasn't written any place, but if you've been there 3 weeks, you knew the rule list. And you were evaluated by how you kept the rule list. But how you treated people never seemed to make an impact and come to the surface as the most important issue. I was so glad to be in a church where people talked about the Word of God. But I remember making a joke about the assigned seating. And somebody said to me, you see that couple there and that couple there? They have never sat next to each other or talked to each other since the building project 10 years ago. And I said to myself, I'll never get involved in a building project. See how that works out. We didn't expect people to change. We expected people to keep the rules. It's a different thing. But victory is normal Christianity. Romans chapter 6, verse 2. By no means, we are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We are those who died to sin. I've shared this before, but I will. We had to do memory work in Bible school, basically three verses a day. And you could do the Navigator's course or a couple other things. Or my first semester, you could memorize the first 8 chapters of Romans. And I picked that mainly because I already knew most of chapter 3 and chapter 4 and part of chapter 1. And I figured this will be easy. And it wasn't until I got to chapter 5. And I couldn't make sense of it. And I said, okay, I'll just go to chapter 6. And it was worse. And I finally said, I've got to understand this. And I started really thinking about it, and then I had another problem. If I understand what this guy is saying, I don't believe it. I looked at myself as a good Christian. I kept the rules better than most people. But I hadn't changed inwardly much at all. And I looked at myself and I felt like, hey, I'm a Christian saved by grace. That means I've accepted God's forgiveness, and out of gratitude, I'm supposed to try harder. And if I live the right way more often than I live the wrong way, God's certainly going to be happy, but 51% is not too bad. And this whole idea that I had died to sin, that I was radically different than I was before I was saved, that was brand new. And I call this the good news, bad news chapter. The good news is victory is possible. The bad news is you just ran out of excuses. There's no excuse for continuing in sin. Now, what's he talking about? Don't you know that all of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? He's not talking water baptism. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. We were all made to drink of one Spirit. In Galatians, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. When I become a child of God, I am placed in Christ. Now, I was in Adam when Adam sinned. All the genetic material for me, except the mutations, which I probably got way too many, but all the genetic material was there. I was in Adam. Now I'm in Christ. That's a whole different thing. So Romans goes on to say, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. And that's what Galatians 2:20 is all about. I have been crucified with Christ. It's stated as a fact. It is a fact. It is just as much a fact as I was in Adam when Adam sinned, and that changed what I would be when I was born. I need to know that what Adam did changed me. I need to know that what Christ did on the cross when I accepted him, that became part of my reality. That became part of who I am, and that changed me. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And it's not just here. Colossians, since you died with Christ, it's in a number of places. I didn't give you all of them. I need to know that. I need to know that. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. You and I are not just the same people we were before we accepted Christ. Something has radically changed. We need to know that. Now I'm using the marginal rule reading in Romans 6:6-7. Same marginal reading in both the NIV and New American Standard. And the word can be translated a couple of ways, but don't translate a verse so it contradicts another one. This is the best translation. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be rendered powerless. that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. It's a pretty blunt example. Dead people aren't tempted. You know, just dead people aren't tempted. The power of sin has been broken. Paul goes on, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. For the life he lives to God. If I were to summarize this chapter, I would say you have to know that you died with Christ. And then the second thing is, you have to actually believe it. You have to accept that what the Word of God says is true. So verse 11 says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Know the fact, and then believe it. Most of you are familiar with Romans 12, 1 and 2. And know that in verse 2 it says we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. Now, if we don't change how we think, we will never change how we act. We showed a series here 5, 6, 7 years ago, Introduction to Biblical Counseling. And one of the first things they said was, most people do not live what they say they believe. Everyone lives what they actually believe. And I really believe that. And I really believe that if I had continued to believe that I was forgiven, but nothing had changed in terms of my relationship to sin, I would have stiff-armed God every time he tried to change me. Because I would be saying, I am this way, that's how I was made, and I can't change. But if this is true, and if I died with Christ, and sin's power has been broken in my life, then if I don't change, it's because I've chosen not to do what God says. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desire of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And the two are contrary one to the other, so that you may not do the things that you wish. I have the Holy Spirit. And the sinful nature has been rendered powerless, but it's still there. But on a one-on-one conflict between the Holy Spirit and the flesh, who's going to win? Anything that says God can't win is heresy, okay? But what happens? I take control of my life. I want to run my life. I want to pick the battles. And I don't give the Holy Spirit the freedom to do what he wants to defeat my sinful nature. See, the battle is not I have to by willpower conquer sin. The battle is I have to choose to let the Holy Spirit deal with the sin in my life. Number of years ago, standing in Kmart, somebody I'd known for almost 20 years said to me, I've almost decided to give up Christianity. I said, why? He said, I've been battling alcohol for 15, 20 years. I have prayed, I have prayed, I have prayed, and God hasn't set me free. Now, I knew him very well, so I could say this. I said, you and your girlfriend take a lot of vacations together, don't you? And he looks at me and he said, yeah. Don't rent two rooms, do you? He said, no. You know that sex outside marriage is sin, right? Well, you know, I'm over 60. That's not what the relationship is about. But it's part of it, right? Right. And then this profound bit of theology came out. God doesn't jump through hoops, we're squat. You know, when God deals with me, I either let the Holy Spirit work or I try to control him and control what I give him permission to talk to me about. And I learned the hard way that I can't say to him, I want you to help me with that, but I'm going to take care of this my own way. Or, I want you to take care of that, but this is just a small sin and I can't see anything bad happening because of it, so just leave it alone for a while. It won't work. It won't work. The Holy Spirit isn't going to take orders from us to work on this part of my life, but leave this part of my life alone. If we count ourselves dead to sin, and then we come to the Holy Spirit, and we say, do in us what you will, and show us exactly what you want to change, he will change us. So Paul goes on in Romans. I'm probably not even going to get through this. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its evil desires. Did you get the wording? I've read this in a dozen translations. They all say the same thing. Do not let sin reign. If I have something in my life, like the list in Galatians chapter 5, and it continues to be a part of my life after I accept Christ, it is because I have chosen to allow it to continue to be a part of my life. Now, he doesn't say don't ever sin, but he says don't let sin reign. And if sinful habits continue, it is a deliberate choice on our part. Now, we may hide what's going on by saying, well, you know, the Kenyan men have always had horrible tempers, and that's just the way I am, and I'll always be but I'm calling God a liar if I say something like that, because I have been crucified with Christ. And sin's power has been broken. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. Don't let sin reign. Offer yourself to God. How often do we get very quiet before God and say, God, is there anything in me you want to talk to me about? Is there anything in my life that isn't changing that you want to change? It is my firm conviction we ought to ask that on a real, regular basis. For sin shall not be no longer be your master, because you're not under the law but under grace. That's a whole other sermon, but it's important truth. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness, don't you know you can go right back into slavery? Some of the natural examples are easier. after Dad made a corncob pipe for me and I took a drag on it and almost gagged to death, I never wanted to smoke a cigarette. I've never been a slave to that. But if I started smoking, I could become a slave. And if somebody stopped, they could be free. But if they started up again, they could become a slave again. God has given us freedom. And there is freedom in following Christ, but we can choose slavery by simply choosing to offer ourselves to our sinful nature. I'm going to skip the rest of the chapter. I've gone pretty long already. So some questions to consider. The first one, of course, is do I have the Holy Spirit living in me? In other words, am I saved? Is the Holy Spirit in me and does he convict me of sin? Number two, is my Christian life obedience to a set of rules or a vital relationship with God? In other words, have I learned to walk in the Spirit? Is God living his life through me or am I following a rule list? Do I really, really believe that sin's power over me was broken when I accepted Christ? Do I really believe that? Or do I see things in my life and say, that's just the way I am and people don't change and I'm glad God forgave me, but this is just too big for me? Do I really believe that sin's power over me was broken when I accepted Christ? Do I therefore accept total responsibility for my continuation in sinful behavior? Do I accept that? Am I fully aware of the fact that choosing to sin after I'm saved can bring me back into slavery to sin? And am I living in victory? Would two or three of your best friends, if you ask them, say, I see God changing you? Ooh, that's not on the list. Boy, that's having someone who can speak that kind of truth into your life. Is God changing you? Is God changing me? We need to ask ourselves that every now and then, because discipleship is being conformed to Christ. It's becoming like him. It's just not knowing stuff. It's changing. Let's pray. Father, I know how incredibly hard it was for me to accept these verses as meaning exactly what they say. And Lord, I know how incredibly hard for me it was and sometimes still is to admit that I haven't changed in ways I should have changed long ago. Father, I pray that all of us will have the courage to ask the Holy Spirit, is there anything in my life that's not right? And that we would have the courage to let you fix it if you tell us something. We pray this in Jesus' name.